I'm just going to bring today's... Oh, I dropped something. Excuse me. Today's reading. This reading is taken from John's Gospel, and it's chapter 17, verses 13 to 26. And this is Jesus praying to his Father. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Thank you. Pastor Ian is going to bring this morning's message.
Thanks, Danny. Morning, everybody. Good to see you on this bank holiday weekend. And as Danny was saying, it does feel like we shouldn't really have another one, but there we go. Let's enjoy it anyway. So this morning, I wanted to just speak to us, to you all this morning about the power of being one. I don't know how you feel about what's happening in our nation at the moment and with all the local elections this last week and everything else. It just seems like we're just kind of in this melee of everybody having a go at everybody else and pointing the finger everywhere else. And I just thought it would be good to kind of come back and call us back to what we are supposed to be as the church. So I just want to start with a little story. Many centuries ago, ancient China wanted to secure its borders from its northern invaders. They had this ingenious plan. Bit like somebody who's also got a plan about building a wall at the moment. They decided they were going to build a great wall to protect their border. It was so thick, no one could knock it down. It was so long, no one could get around it. They posted soldiers at different places. It was a huge thing that even now you can see it from space. It's huge. In some places, it's so wide that you can even, if you wanted to, ride a chariot down it to patrol the wall if you couldn't be bothered walking. If they heard of an attack at a distant location, they'd easily be able to get forces to it because they had built it so well and it had such easy access along the top of it. They were high up, giving them a superior advantage over their enemies. They could protect their borders sufficiently against any attack. And yet, in the first 100 years of the Great Wall being built, China was invaded 3 times. How? Simple. The enemy bribed the gatekeeper so they could actually just walk through an open gate and enter the land undetected. Sometimes we can think we've built such a great structure and such an unbeatable defense against the enemy, when in reality, just one member of the team can actually let the enemy in just like that. And so when we diminish the importance of unity in the body of Christ, the church, we risk being invaded by the enemy. God's called us through Jesus Christ to a divine fellowship with each other and with him, to being one as he is one with the Son. That fellowship is one of the most important tools of witness to a lost and dying world. And if we don't protect that unity with God and with each other, if we don't strive and work towards it and do everything we can to promote it, we open up a gate of division, causing ineffectiveness and destruction in its wake. In our reading that Diana read to us this morning, it's a beautiful prayer that Jesus prays for all who would call upon his name to be one. And a watching world will be drawn to believe in who he is and what he's about. It's the only long continuous prayer of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. And if you haven't read it in a long time, can I encourage you this week, maybe even tomorrow on your bank holiday, read through John 17. Read this prayer. It is a beautiful thing that Jesus prays knowing he's going to the cross, but he's praying for his disciples. He's praying that after his departure, they would be able to look after each other and also know God's presence with them. And he prays for himself, knowing what he's got to face ahead of him. But he also prays for all who will become believers through the ministry of the disciples. And I think that includes us today. So here Jesus shares one of the most important aspects of the church reaching out to others. Because in it he's saying, when a lost world, when a world that is looking for something more, looks at this diverse, dynamic group of people working and living out their lives together that is called church, may they see something that they can't find anywhere else. Every single one of us is looking to be loved, is looking for support and encouragement, is looking for acceptance and belonging. And Jesus' prayer is that they will be drawn to the reality of who he is as he sees that being lived out by you and me here today. That as we live out this unity, the world may see something different. See, Jesus didn't say the world's going to be drawn because of great preaching or because of great singing. But he said that people would be drawn to him when they see the work of people from different backgrounds, different ages, different ethnic backgrounds, as part of the church, living out their lives together, working together and loving one another. He says, I'm praying that they will be one as the Heavenly Father and I are one, and that unity will draw them to me, believing that God sent me. And he prays too that by their love for one another, they may reflect the unity of will and purpose that exists between the Father and himself. So I just want to go through some key points this morning. And as somebody pointed out, they recognize that it actually starts to spell out a certain word, but I'll leave that for you to understand at the end, because they got very excited that I hadn't actually mentioned it, but I'm mentioning it to you now to spoil the surprise. So the first one is this. The first thing for us to focus on this morning is uplift. Each and every one of us can uplift and glorify God in who we are and what we do, no matter what situation we face. Each of us has a choice we can make. Am I going to bring glory to God in my situation right now? Am I going to uplift his name even though people are trying to trample me down? It's also remembering who he is and what he's done for us, especially as we come later to celebrate communion together. We come to this table remembering all that God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. That through his death and his resurrection, we are brought into the place of glory. There is no longer separation between us and God because of Jesus. Not because of we are good enough, but he glorifies us in Jesus. And so through Jesus, God has lifted you and me back into a relationship with him. But we're also can each and encourage and lift each other's up as well. Because in Jesus' death and resurrection, God took all the sin, the hurt, and the failures of humanity that led to the cross and turned them into the greatest victory of all time. God takes what was one of the most barbaric forms of execution that was often seen as horrendous, torturous thing, and makes it a symbol of hope and of victory through the death of his son. And it's a victory he continues to win every single day, because his forgiveness is as real today as it ever was, as he continues to use our failures, our mistakes, our weaknesses as part of our own victory plans. That even in the times when we fail, we can bring glory to God. But we must seek his forgiveness. And if somebody does wrong to us, somebody else does something wrong to us, we must seek to forgive them as well. And Jesus calls us to that. The second thing is need. Unity becomes possible when we acknowledge and are honest about our personal needs, but also about our responsibility to help others with their needs as well. Too often we can just focus on the issues that we've got for ourselves, but sometimes God can use our experience and our difficulties to help others who are going through something similar as well. Because it's then that we understand what they're going through. It's in those moments we can actually draw alongside them and say, I know what it's like. Let me help you. Doing what we can to meet those needs, but also asking God to work in and through us. There are times and situations where only by the grace and the mercy of God will we see things happen. Paul encourages his readers in Philippians 2 to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. We all have needs, but we can also help meet other people's needs as well. And then there's integrity. Jesus says in verse 22, I have given them glory. Glory in the Bible calls attention to the holiness and the purity of God. And here Jesus is saying, I have given them glory. Jesus represented the glory and the holiness of God to a world that was looking for a savior. And we have received the call to represent that same type of integrity or holiness to the world today. Verse 19 says that we would be sanctified or made holy in Christ. That we would actually, through Jesus, become holy. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so unity will flourish and grow when we continue to seek to live out those lives that God calls us to through Jesus, by living holy, clean, and pure lives. The dictionary defines integrity as a state of being that is complete or unified. Integrity means wholeness or completeness. And the Bible reveals that Christ fills the longing for our soul, binds up our broken hearts, and makes our life complete. Jesus stated, I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. Do you know that for yourself this morning? That in Jesus you can have life in all its fullness. Maybe this morning you don't feel you're worthy enough. That's why we come to this communion table remembering that Jesus has done it all. He's paid the price. He's brought us back into that right relationship with God. He just calls us to glorify him in our response of how we live out our lives. And so it comes to the issue of trust. Who do you trust this morning? Or to put it another way, who can trust you? Because every single relationship is built on trust. And one of the first things when a relationship breaks down that goes is trust. In the chapters of John, you find Jesus calling his disciples to be one in Christ, to be one in him by trusting one another with their lives. Because he knows they're going to be working together. He knows they're going to be serving together. He knows there's a day coming when actually he's going to no longer be there physically with them. They're going to face challenges together. They can either trust each other or they can run away from each other. And earlier on in John chapter 15, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." We will not be able to show love towards each other without the inspiration of the love of Jesus that he has for you and for me. There will be times when people get completely on your nerves. We are still called to love one another. So we see in verse 19, for the sake of his disciples and all of us, he consecrates himself to death in a perfect sacrifice that deals with the sin of the world once for all. For all our failings and all the things that we get wrong, Jesus makes himself ready to die for those. Not just then, but even today. And so the last aspect I want us to focus on this morning is simply you. You see, at the end of the day, unity is about you and your response to whether you want to help make that happen, whether it's in here in this church or in the workplace or even in your home. We all have a choice to make. Just like that gatekeeper in China who decided, rather than being part of the nation that he was part of, he was actually going to sell out and be bribed. And despite having this huge superstructure to keep the enemy out, he was going to go undo the lock and let everybody in. You and I have a choice to make as well. And it's a personal one. Because you and I have to choose whether we are going to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You see, God has exalted Christ with all power and authority over all things. But he leaves the choice up to you and to me whether we allow that to be happening in our life as well. Have you made that choice for yourself this morning? Then, having yielded to the Lordship of Christ, we have the capacity to yield to one another in the cause of sharing the gospel. See, the word yield is an interesting word because on the one hand, in terms of a battle, if you yield, it means you are surrendering to your opponent or the one you're facing. But another description of yield is actually what you produce. So on the one hand, you and I yield to God, we give ourselves to God, but also we yield in terms of what we produce in our lives, what we produce as a church. And the driving call for us as this body of Christ, as this one unit, the church, the driving call for us is that the world may know who Jesus is. We should be willing to yield our selfish desires to the greater goal of becoming God, who God intends us to be in Christ, and seeking to extend the love of Christ to a lost and a hurting world, so that in our own lives and in the lives of a body of believers, we will see a different yield, as in the produce of the product of seeing lives change, of seeing lives transformed by the power of Jesus at work in them. That we would know together the power of being one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work in and through us. This unity, this love, that it produces is supernatural. The perfection of this unity is what Jesus prays for, that we would be complete in this unity together. Because I think that will have a massive impact on the world around us. But it will only be reached as long as we each keep in touch with our exalted Lord Jesus Christ. That is why also communion is so important, that we come together today to share in this meal together as one. Knowing that we've all fallen short, but knowing that we are glorified and uplifted through Jesus to bring glory and praise and honor to God. That as we celebrate communion today, it's about knowing that there is power in being one with each other, but also with God. Isn't that something worth fighting for? Isn't that something worth being part of? To be part of the power of being one to a world that is seeking and looking for a place of belonging, a place of acceptance. But time and time again is turning on each other and just causing so much fragmentation. Let us work together to bring about glory to God's name as we love him and love each other. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you and praise you for Jesus, that you sent him to a lost and a hurting world. Lord, that this morning each of us can renew ourselves in him. Lord, I pray that each of us would know the love and acceptance you have for us through Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you prayed for us as you were going to the cross, because you knew there was power in being united with us and power in us loving each other as you have loved us. So Lord, I pray this morning that as we come towards communion, we would make ourselves right with you. That you would help us in every situation to bring about your unity, to uplift you and each other, to help meet the needs of those around us, to live out lives that just proclaim who you are and what you've done for us. That we would completely trust in you and we would give of ourselves completely to what you call us to. In the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Purify my heart. Let me be as